So here's my dilemma. Like everyone, I try and stay away from fights at work, but sometimes it's really hard to avoid it. I'm an editor, and I deal with a lot of reporters and other editors, producers, freelancers, managers, just a lot of different people who have a lot of opinions, and sometimes we don't always see eye to eye. At least, that's what I tell myself. Hi, I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking, and we're continuing our series with the Harvard Business Review, looking at how we can survive the workplace. Today, we're looking at those battles that we sometimes have with our coworkers and how we can try and get the most out of them when they do happen.
Conflict at work can be really healthy and good. What we want to avoid are the dysfunctional conflicts and fights.
That's executive coach Annie McKee. I asked her to tell me what causes strife in the workplace.
Most of us are really stressed out. So even if we start our day ready to get along and go along and have a good time, we end up feeling and experiencing friction with each other simply because we're so stressed.
Is it the stress of the actual work that we're doing, or is it the fact that some of our own personality traits come out in certain situations at work?
When it comes right down to it, most of us have issues and we bring those issues to work. A lot of people are just plain insecure. They're insecure about their talents, they're insecure about their education, they're insecure about the way they look, you name it. And when people feel insecure, they tend to pick fights, they tend to be self-protective, and they tend to try to push people away or even get aggressive just to make sure that they stay safe.
McKee says there's no such thing as professional growth without personal growth, and that avoiding or at least managing conflict comes down to self-awareness. For me, what I've come to realize is it's all about communication, that I just need to make sure I'm talking to people.
You really need to truly understand yourself, your strengths, your weaknesses, what you care about, your values, and really get grounded in yourself.
And when you do that, you might even be able to understand your coworkers and where they're coming from in those really tense situations.
You know, for example, if you've got a coworker or a boss who likes to throw word bombs across the table at meetings and little jabs and, you know, little digs all the time, you want to be sure that you understand that that's not about you. It's about them.
Speaking of word bombs, I talked to Linda Hill, a professor of business administration at the Harvard Business School, about choosing the right words at work. Step one, she said, stop talking and start listening.
Really, what you want to do in these conversations initially is make sure you understand what the conflict is really about.
Okay, well, I have to say, and maybe this is a bit of a confession, that sometimes when I listen to people or like let people vent, it only gets me more irritated. So what do you do in that situation when what the person is saying is just doesn't match with your value system or it's just irritating?
I think we all feel what you're describing. We all can feel irritated and we all can want to just jump in and say, hey, wait a minute, you forgot this or what about that? Or you're blaming me. So the person may not actually answer you in a very constructive fashion. And what you want to do is keep that conversation or that conflict from escalating.
But what if that person is your boss? I'm a boss, but I'm not the CEO, so I have a boss too. So I put that question to Linda Hill.
Well, first off, again, you need to step into the shoes of the boss. And one piece of that is understanding that your boss also has pressures and priorities and preferred ways of doing things. So again, I'm not asking you to step back and let people just run all over you or bully you. In fact, you need to deal with that. That's different. But what you need to figure out is why would the boss do this? What's on the boss's mind that would actually lead him or her to make the decision that he's made or she's made?
So quick recap, self-awareness and listening skills. Those both make sense. But you also have to be confident and open to a colleague's point of view in order to have a productive working relationship. But even in those moments when you prepare ahead of time, something might go wrong. For me, the biggest thing that worries me is if someone makes a mistake. I might be the one who did it, or maybe somebody else did. So I asked Linda to talk me through how to react.
You really can mess up a lot when you're trying to do something new and different, right? There are lots of missteps you're sort of discovering along the way. You don't want to surprise that boss, so you need to go to the boss and say, you know what? This was what my intention was. I was trying to do it for these reasons, but guess what? I messed up. It didn't work out that way. And I would really like some of your insight about how I could have done this a little differently.
What do you do when you see somebody, let's say you have a coworker and you see that they messed up, but they're not taking ownership like you're describing? They're not sort of coming forward, and sometimes that makes everything better if they just say, hey, I realize I made a mistake on this, but they refuse to acknowledge that something that they did causes this problem, and that can just be infuriating.
So the thing that we need to understand is it's not about having the last word. It's about coming up with the right solution or the right answer. So why do you want that person to take blame, right? I think everyone should do that, but if it's really about you just want them for once to take blame, be held accountable. Then if it's about your own emotions, that's not the deal. If it's really about making sure they don't do it again and you correct whatever went wrong, that's what you want to be focused on because you're trying to do what's best for the enterprise. So you need to go to the person and say, look, this has happened. Neither one of us must be very happy about this outcome. I do think it's important we do a bit of a postmortem to understand why this occurred because we can't afford for it to occur again.
That's Linda Hill of the Harvard Business School and author of Being the Boss, Three Imperatives for Becoming a Great Leader. Earlier, you heard from Annie McKee, an executive coach and senior fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the author of Primal Leadership, Unleashing the Power of Emotional Intelligence. You can read more from both of them at the Harvard Business Review's website, hbr.org. I'm Charlie Herman, and you've been listening to a new series of conversations about management and the workplace from WNYC's Money Talking. In the weeks ahead, we're going to continue to look at the workplace and how you can try and manage your way through it. What are some of the challenges you face? Tell me your tale of workplace woe. Send me an email, or even better, record a message on your smartphone and send it to moneytalking@wnyc.org. Like everyone else, you can also find us on Twitter, @moneytalking, or you can find me, @CharlieHerman. And wait, there's more. You can also check us out on iTunes and hit the subscribe button. Thanks for listening, and stop getting into all those fights at work. I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.